Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
So how's everybody feeling about our president? Everybody good?
You know what I saw? I saw a meme yesterday. It's completely, well, this is probably inappropriate, but I'm going to say it anyway. I saw a meme that it was kind of like watching a toddler with a loaded pistol. And you're just, you know, you're just like, it's like you can do nothing about it. You can do nothing. You're just watching and you're like,
oh, God. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
That's what it's like. That's what it's like. Yeah. And it's, we're just sitting back and we can do nothing about it. And we're going to be watching it for the next, what, 3.5 years, basically.
I saw a rumor yesterday. I mean, it's, somebody was just trying to start the rumor that they think that Biden is going to resign his post exactly 2 years and one day in, because that way Kamala will take over and then she could theoretically be eligible to be president for 10 years. Because she'll do the 2 year, like the less than 2 years, because she would finish out his term, but that wouldn't count as a full term.
So yeah.
Then she could run for president two more times.
Which is hilarious.
I mean, nobody likes her.
I mean, everybody hates her. I think even the Democrats really hate her at this point. She's just awful. She's done an piss poor job. I mean, it's nothing she's done right. I mean, so I guess theoretically that, okay, that makes sense. But I mean, she'll. Can you imagine if she went up against somebody like a, you know, like a Kristi Noem or Nikki Haley or somebody, I mean, just anybody, or like my Great Dane, you know?
Right.
Let's, you know, put anybody,
her against anybody.
Anybody that had half a brain, she would lose miserably. So there's just no way. There's no way.
There's no way. Well, we're going to get into the Biden stuff in a second. But first, we have an email from Trish Porter from Arizona, who said, I ordered moccasins, the MyPillow moccasins, for my mother and mother-in-law for Mother's Day. They love them. My mother-in-law wears them everywhere. My father-in-law kept checking them out, so we decided to order him a pair for Father's Day. He just got them. He's so happy. Trust me, she says, get your parents these slippers. They don't need another knickknack. They don't need flowers or ties. Get them something that will truly put a smile on their face. Plus, supporting MyPillow is awesome. She's absolutely right. And she didn't even mention the squeezy kitten fur technology, which is what these slippers are known for.
That's right. I mean, all throughout the land. That's what they're known for.
MyPillow doesn't know about them. They talk about memory foam and like,
yeah, it's like
blah, blah, blah.
Mike Lindell is like, whatever.
Kitten fur squeezy technology.
It
guys.
Is.
That's the real
That's
secret.
That's what it is. Exactly.
And you can order them at 800-875-0513 or mypillow.com. Just don't forget to use code
CHICKS
because you get massive, massive discounts all
it's
up
true.
In here.
On all the things.
All the things. So I have video of the moment that is getting most talked about from the whole press or the post press briefing with Putin and Biden. We should point out Putin spent 55 minutes with the press answering questions left and right. And he did it first after their meeting, which was, I think, 2.5 hours or so. And then Biden came out and he took about 25 minutes of questions. They were pre-approved. You know, he had his list because he doesn't want to get in trouble.
Right.
Of people.
Because he's always afraid. He's always afraid of getting in trouble. Always afraid.
Always.
Like there's that, there's that, that montage of him saying, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm so afraid. I don't want to get in trouble. Which is so completely not presidential. But then again, he's not presidential at all. Yeah.
I mean, and it was ridiculous because after the meeting, of course, the meeting was private except for the first 2 minutes or so. And then, you know, they had the photos and the handshake, whatever. And you should have heard like CNN just fawning over the fact that like Biden won their initial confrontation because he was the one that stuck out his hand to be shaken first.
Oh my God.
And like he held eye contact longer. And they were just like, oh my God, he's so strong. It's such a contrast.
Right.
Oh my God. So
CNN,
ridiculous.
You are so drunk. Meanwhile, what did they say about the hacking? What did they say about that?
Oh, well, I don't know what CNN said about it. We'll get to that too, because that was another amazing part of yesterday. But the thing that's getting the most attention is this clip of Biden yelling at Caitlin Collins from CNN, because she had the audacity to ask a question that was very reasonable to ask.
And probably wasn't scripted. I would imagine it wasn't scripted.
And you guys, he got so mad. I hope this is easy to hear. If it's not, I can tell you what he said. Here we go.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident. What the hell? What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said what I said was, let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior is if the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating a fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
If you don't understand that, you're in your own business.
What did he say at the end there? What did he say at the end?
If you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business, is what he said.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he isn't confident in anything. I mean, that was just the truth coming out, because he's not confident at all in anything that he does. But it's interesting that he's screaming at CNN. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, and that he's pointing a finger in the face of a woman journalist. How dare he be so misogynistic, right?
Yeah, what a sexist pig, right? It's weird. Are they calling him out for that? Is while they're fawning all over him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got called out, and then he apologized when he was getting onto the tarmac. He came right out to reporters and was like, I owe that last questioner an apology. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. That's what he said in his apology.
Oh, wise guy. That's right. Okay. Okay. So he gets a pass as a wise guy. Everybody moves on, and we're all fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. Because he's Joe Biden.
He's Joe Biden, and he gets to do the things. I mean, he literally might as well have shaken a rake at her in that moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of the finger pointing, just shake the rake, because, man, dude, he has got a temper, you know?
Well, he's got a temper because she went off script, and he's an older dude that has cognitive function issues. And so he wasn't expecting, I don't think he was expecting that question, and or he just gets really frazzled when things aren't planned. Like when he doesn't, everything, when something is not on the script where people have told him, this is what's going to happen. And when those things don't happen, he's like, he can't handle it. Whereas, you know, Trump, he was just like, whatever, it's on the fly. I'll just, you know, let him rip, man. Let's just go. I'll take questions for like 2 hours and let's just do this. Let's do the thing. You know, he can't do that. You put him in a situation where there's not plans and people haven't briefed him on everything. And he probably has people in his ear, like telling him what to say. And
he's got note cards with basically entire scripts out, because he doesn't have his own thoughts anymore.
Exactly.
He has to read his thoughts to the press, because he can't do it by himself.
And there was a thing that some of his note cards had written on there. There were points about Trump being a jerk. Like there were points on there about hating Trump, talking points about Trump still. Like he has to be reminded to tell the American people what a bad guy Trump is. Seriously? Oh my God. This administration is such a joke. It's unreal.
Yeah, and it got way worse when he did this. Oh my God. So he has the meeting with Putin. Of course, they're each asked about it. They say the things, whatever. And so at one point, Joe Biden tells the press, he says out loud that he told that Putin, when it comes to hacking, there are 16 critical pieces of infrastructure that are off limits to Russian hackers, by golly, basically saying, whatever else you want to hack is fine, but just keep your paws off these 16 specific things.
Yeah.
He said that out loud as if, like, look at me being strong and presidential. It was the most idiotic thing I've seen out of this president. And that's saying something, right?
Right, right.
What an idiot.
Yeah, everything else is cool. Hack everything else, Putin. It's totally fine.
But these 16.
Just can you leave those alone, please? Pretty, please,
really
with sugar
critical.
On top.
It's infrastructure.
Don't touch the 16 things, because we don't want you to touch those. Is that okay for me to say? People on my staff, is that okay?
I'm going to get in trouble.
I don't want to get in trouble by you or Putin because he's big and strong. Just don't touch the 16th.
I mean, that was the worst thing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened throughout the whole G7, but that was bad, you guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
how
really
do you
bad.
Defend that? There's no defending that.
But they do. This is the thing. They do and they will. And they'll still continue to fawn all over him. And idiots will buy it. Idiots will buy into this. They'll be like, oh, he's so great. I just love him and his wife. And they're in love and his family and his son who does crack. I mean, they're just so great. He's an artist. Don't make fun of him. He has a drug problem. Don't make fun of him. You're mean.
Well, he's mean because he calls Asian people yellow.
Oh,
you can't do that. Yeah, a whole bunch of texts came out from Hunter, and it's not good, you guys.
He says the N-word, too, but people buy his art for a ridiculous amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets rewarded. Again, like we talk about that all the time, about how these people get rewarded for horrible behavior. I mean, he is such a case study of that. This guy is like a gajillionaire because his father is a politician, right? He does nothing of value for society, Hunter Biden. He's a complete and utter loser. And then look at him. Look at him like getting rewarded in our society. He makes blow art.
I mean, it's not terrible looking, but it's definitely not worth $500,000, which is what he's getting it from anonymous collectors that aren't required to say who they are. That is money laundering happening under our very noses. And I cannot believe that like somebody's not looking into that further because that is so sketch.
Oh, my God.
Or as the kids today say, sus.
It's sus. Mock wants some of his blow art, you guys.
Listen, if somebody just gave me one of his pieces of blow art, I'd be like, all right. I mean, I can find a room that would look okay in.
You know what I'd do with it? I'd sell it for $500,000 because that's what it's going for.
Good point.
And I'd send like a couple kids to college and I'd, you know, buy some stuff for myself. I'd retire is what I do. I'd actually retire. That's what I do. $500,000. It's going for $500,000. I heard that Andy Warhol's stuff is going for $750,000. Think about that for a second. Hunter Biden stuff is selling for $500,000, and Andy Warhol stuff is selling for $750,000. Just ponder that for a second. Yeah. That's how screwed up we are right now. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But everything's fine, you guys. Everything's fine. This is Biden's America. Gas is like $3 a gallon. It's okay. Everything's fine.
For now.
Nothing to
say. I mean, get your gas while you can because it's just going to get worse, you guys.
Good Lord. Yeah.
I know.
Hey, it's the chicks here, Mock and Daisy, coming at you talking about AMAC.
AMAC. Oh, how I love thee. Let me count the ways. Do you remember when like I was about to turn 50? It was probably a few months ahead of me turning 50. And all of a sudden I get bombarded with crap from AARP.
Oh, I remember.
I was like, why you gotta remind me that I'm getting old? Why you gotta do that?
Totally remember. Yeah. And now you've got AMAC, which is an alternative to that. It's the fabulous alternative, which aligns with our values.
It does. And so right now we are big into cancel culture. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but like everybody is getting canceled.
Right.
And so I kind of think it's a nice way to fight back a little bit and cancel out AARP.
Yeah, I love
it too. Cancel AARP and get yourself some AMAC.
Mm-hmm. And you get yourself some really good discounts and really good member benefits for a really, really low price every year. Yeah, what you'd spend on like three lattes, you guys. So check it out. It's amac.us/chicks.
amac.us/chicks. Check them out today.
So yeah, so, you know, new text messages came out between Hunter Biden and his cousin, a younger chick who's had her own share of issues and like run-ins with the law. She's been arrested for drug possession and stealing credit cards and all kinds of I mean, this family, oh my God. So they were having a text conversation and she was trying to set him up with a potential, with one of her rich model friends, apparently. And so she was asking him in this text exchange, hey, like what kind of girl do you want me to set you up with? And he basically said, well, she asked him first, do you want foreign or domestic? I can't give you effing Asian. Sorry, I'm not doing it. And his response was, domesticated foreigner is fine. No yellow. So, yeah. Is he going to get crucified by the media? No, they're just going to buy more freaking art.
Right. People will just keep giving him money.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my God. And we still, what was on the laptop? I want to know. Well,
this was from that laptop. But so, I'm talking about stuff coming out.
I'm talking about like the nasty stuff that you didn't make me watch.
The other stuff.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about like, what about the stuff with like girls and like, you know what I'm saying? Besides the stuff that we're talking about, but the other stuff, you know, the stuff that we haven't actually heard about yet. Because if this were Donald Trump Jr., we would have heard about everything already. Why is this stuff just trickling out? I mean, and then he's just put on this pedestal and everybody's like, leave him alone. He's Hunter Biden.
Maybe it's just because I don't know why it does seem to be trickling out. Maybe it's just because there's so much crap to look through that they're finding the juicy stuff piece by piece and getting it out. I don't know. But that is a good question. Like, why are we getting an article here and then like 3 weeks later, an article there? I don't know. I do not know.
I think it has everything to do with our press, Mary, and the way that our, the way that the powers that be work and what they want to be released and what they, just the way that they control the narrative. I think that that's the way that it works in our society, in our culture. They allow us to see what they want us to see, period.
Yeah, they do. And speaking of the press, my mom was so mad. She sent me the headline from Washington Post. So, you know, I mean, all last year, people were getting kicked off of social media for suggesting that COVID came from the lab, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't say that without fearing the risk of all your social media platforms. And of course, now everything's different. And now everybody's talking about how it most likely was from a lab leak. So this is the extent. This was unbelievable. She sent me this and I couldn't believe it. What she wrote is, I just saw this title in the Washington Post today. I didn't look at the whole article. So outraged that apparently only now, thanks to Biden, we are getting to the truth about the virus, because the Trump era led us down, quote, fruitless paths. So this is the Washington Post headline. Trump era hunt for pandemic lab leak went down many fruitless paths. The quest by spy agencies and public health officials relied on public reports and intelligence from foreign governments. Now, President Biden has reinvigorated the search, ordering a fresh intel review.
Yeah, there you go. See, it's like they create the narrative, man. This is what they do. It's a bunch of lies. It's a bunch of freaking lies. That's a lie.
Can you even?
Right. And your mom is mad because she's smart. Your mom is brilliant. Your mom is freaking brilliant. Right. So she understands that this is a lie. And we know it's a lie. And the people here know it's a lie. But there are so many dumb people out there that will read that and they'll be like, oh my God, that was a fruitless path. I don't know what fruitless means. Does that mean without fruit? Does it mean that the path had no fruit? Because that seems awful. I like fruit.
And especially blueberries.
I love blueberries and strawberries too. That sucks. So, I mean, like they'll believe it. They'll buy into this garbage and they'll think, that's right. This is all, Biden's a savior. Just like Biden's the one who is responsible for the vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. God, mm-hmm. It just makes me so mad. Remember how I showed you guys the Tom Cruise deepfake, like the TikToks with the Tom Cruise deepfakes, and how I was like completely freaked out about them?
They're terrifying.
So, oh my God. And then remember who's the guy that you like that I was like, oh, your guy's on TikTok now.
Jason Statham.
Yes, yes, yes. They're doing it with him now too. So it's freaky, right? Because I was sucked in and I was like, oh yeah, that's totally Tom Cruise. That's totally Jason Statham. Or Statham, or however you say it. I know people get mad if we don't say it right. But now, I don't know whether to be like glad about this or even more afraid. But basically, Facebook scientists have now come out with a way of reverse engineering deepfakes. So now they have created technology where they can tell with any video that's out in the world, they have a way of being able to tell, has this video been manipulated? which sounds kind of awesome, right? Like, so, right. You know, you could, if that's something that can be done, good on them for figuring out the technology. But is it good that it's Facebook that has figured this out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great point, Mark. That is a really great point. Like, why does it always have to be these guys?
I know.
Why does it have to be like all of these people that, you know, that are all in the same, you know, group?
Yeah.
Can we not have some other people who are smart and that are figuring this stuff out that have nothing to do with, you know, Zuckerberg and his friends? Why? Yeah.
That would also be my preference.
Right.
Like, do they have DuckDuckGo scientists? Can they figure this out?
Right. I mean, there has to be somebody, or just people that aren't connected with social media at all that can be out there figuring this out, that are third party. You know, it's like, get on that. I know there are young people out there who are, you know, that are some, you know, engineer like that can do this. Just do it.
Yeah.
Start doing it. Do this stuff.
Cause because at first I was like, oh, that's so good. That like relieves me a little bit. It makes me, it reassures me that, you know, this isn't going to, people aren't going to get away with doing these things, but man, it's Facebook. And then the fact that they said Facebook had scientists, I was like, what in the world? There are Facebook scientists. Is that even a thing?
Yeah. That's a little disturbing. It's very disturbing.
Victoria's Secret is going through a rebranding process, so they will no longer be doing they're probably not going to have the angels anymore. They're starting a new podcast with Megan Rapinoe.
Oh my gosh. That uber feminist that played soccer? Are you serious?
Yes.
That's
she's not going to be in lingerie, but she's going to help in a rebranding of Victoria's Secret.
Well, bye, Victoria's Secret. Bye.
Well, exactly. It's what the hell are they doing?
Oh, my God. Who decided this was a good idea?
They feel a lot of pressure from the woke mob to have trans people as models, to have fat people as models, to have all the whatever groups and categories as models. Yeah. And so they're like, maybe that's why we're sucking so hard. And so we just need to get more woke. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. See ya. Bye. You're on way out. Victoria's Secret just died, you guys. It just died. It's like you just hear it gasp for its last breath.
Right?
Megan Rapinoe.
I can't.
The border crisis is endangering national security and empowering adversaries like communist China. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Congressman Tom Tiffany joins me to discuss his visit to the dangerous Darien Gap in Panama. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mock has a birthday coming up here.
I do. It's a week from tomorrow. And it, you know what? It's going to be like kind of the worst birthday ever.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because literally everybody that could be part of my birthday is gone. You're gone. Rob is going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. I'm leaving on my birthday evening birthday afternoon to fly to Charleston for a wedding. So I'll be alone on my birthday evening when I get to the airport and to my hotel. I will be alone. And then my parents are gone. My sister is gone. Like literally no one is here. I will have nobody.
But the morning of your birthday, we will all be with you, right? You guys, we're all going to be with Mock on the morning of her birthday. And we're going to celebrate like crazy on next Friday. You guys are all going to be there, right? We're all going to be with Mom on her birthday. So it'll be a party. So at least you get us, right? You get
That's
us on
true.
Your birthday morning.
That's true. And
we're all going to be fussing. We're going to be fussing with you. You get like all of us, like thousands of us with you on your birthday. So that'll be nice.
That will be nice. And then, you know, I'm going to Tucson for 4th of July and we'll have belated Father's Day there, belated birthday there. So I'll get family time.
And then in September, we're going to Vegas.
Vegas!
Excited. So we'll celebrate then. And I'll buy you a drink or 18.
Well, that's going to be your birthday too. So there's going to be just drink buying all the way around.
So many drinks.
Okay. I have a couple things to show you there's a couple serious things that I need to show you. We've talked about critical race theory a lot. This is an eighth grade teacher, an eighth grade English teacher is what I'm about to show you. Okay. This guy is teaching kids. He's in Illinois. I don't know where. Ever since this came out, he's made his TikTok private, but somebody was able to save it on Twitter. So that's where you're going to see it. And he is answering a question about why it's important to teach critical race theory to eighth graders in an English class. Okay, so this is what you're about to hear. It's just infuriating. This guy has a mullet. You need to be prepared for that.
So this comment right here is asking me to explain why not wanting critical race theory in the classroom is racist. Thank you for asking me this question. I'd love to explain it. So critical race theory talks about how the systems that we have, the laws that we have, how all of those are designed to oppress people groups. Things like mass incarceration, the prison industrial system, the military industrial system, all of those are used to oppress people groups. By teaching this in the classroom, we can show our kids what systems need to be challenged and thought about differently. Racism isn't going to be fixed by me going down to a kid right here and saying, "Hey, buddy, you really need to be nicer to that kid over there, even though they look a little bit different than you." We can dismantle racism by dismantling systems of oppression, not by being nice to people. When you don't want to teach future generations about how these systems were designed to oppress people, you're taking the side of the oppressor, being racist.
Teach my kid to read. My God.
He's an English teacher. This guy is an English teacher.
English teacher. Yes.
Oh, my God. English teacher. Listen, Billy Cyrus. English. This has no place in an English class, first of all. No. Like, none of this has any place in it. This drives me crazy. Like, what are they learning in English then? What kind of English are they learning? What are they reading? What are they writing about? What is the curriculum for English then if he's teaching this garbage? What are they learning?
He's probably having them read Ibram Kendi and Robin DiAngelo. Who that guy is. And they're everywhere. It doesn't matter, even if the laws change. Governor DeSantis in Florida, Governor Abbott in Texas, governors everywhere can say critical race theory is banned in the classroom. There are always going to be teachers like that who are doing whatever they want to do behind your back or wide open. And that's why you have to look at all of your kids, everything that they bring home to work on, everything that they're studying, you have to know.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Like, I had kids in my college courses who could not write a full sentence. And I would help them, you know, I would teach them, because that's what my job was. My job was to teach them. Oh, by the way, it wasn't to tell them what my political ideology was. I didn't tell them what affiliation was at all. But I would think to myself, how in the holy hell did these kids get into college? I would think that a lot about a lot of kids. I honestly had no idea how a lot of these kids even made it past the 11th, past the 9th or 10th grade. I don't know how they did. They're getting past. I don't know how. It's astounding. Right.
It's insane. The other serious one I wanted to show you is, this is so batshit, I cannot even deal. So there's this guy that is going to explain why you are fat phobic if you yourself do not want to be fat. Okay? This is a real thing now. This is where we are.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
I'm not fat phobic. I just don't want to be fat. That's not how it works. No, seriously, I have no problem with fat people. I think they're beautiful. I'm all for body positivity or whatever. I just don't want to be fat. Actively not wanting to be fat is fat phobia. And therefore, you're fat phobic. And so what? Am I supposed to want to be fat? Literally nobody is saying that. There is little to no evidence that we have any control over our size long term, so we might as well just stop wanting size changes in general. So what am I supposed to do then? Read up on fat liberation, follow fat activists and creators, and commit to unlearning your fat phobia. But
oh my God. Oh my God. What is going on? What is going on? I can't even unpack that. So he's saying that we're all supposed to be happy and excited to be fat. And if we don't want to be fat, we are somehow, we're fat
phobic. You're phobic. Yeah.
I'm phobic.
So you're
fat
supposed
people.
To not want, you're supposed to not pay attention to and not care about your size, no matter what size you are. You should never want to change whatever size you are. And if you get fat, like if you just are a person who eats way more donuts than you should and you get really, really fat, that's okay. You should not want to undo that because you're just predestined and predetermined to be fat. And so you shouldn't care about changing your size ever. Screw health, right? I mean,
yeah, because that's a bunch of bull crap because right. You're supposed to care about your health. It's called personal responsibility. So that is, you know, that's what it is. So these people don't believe in personal responsibility at all, which I am.
They just want you to accept them no matter what, all the ways, no matter what, all the time.
Right, right. Well, he's wrong. He's completely wrong.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
It's insane. Yeah, it is insane. All right, you guys. Do we have to bring it in?
Yeah.
We got to bring it in. Let's bring it in, you guys. Bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it in. You guys have a fantastic Thursday.
Democrats are flipping out over election integrity again, and the World Health Organization says it's stigmatizing to name COVID variants after the places they were found. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll deliver the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives and hopefully some laughs, too. Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch wherever you get your podcasts.